Now, here's a powerful statistic for you. Over half the planet's population depend on rice for the majority of their calories. But current rice cultivation, in turn, is responsible for 12% of global methane emissions. And these emissions are expected to increase with global warming and also through a rise in human population. So it's a big player. Well, now scientists have identified the chemical compounds that are released by rice roots that drive that production of methane. This information has then enabled them to breed a new, high-yielding strain of rice by crossing the non-methane-emitting variety they had with an existing crop rice to produce a form of the plant that doesn't release these chemicals and consequently emits up to 70% less methane. I've been speaking to Anna Schnurer, who's a biologist at the Swedish University of Agricultural Sciences, where she did the work.
Rice cultivation lead to a lot of methane, and methane is a very strong climate gas. So by growing a lot of rice, because we also need food for the growing human population, we actually create a problem with a lot of methane going out to the atmosphere.
Is the methane produced by the rice plant, or is it produced by the conditions the rice is growing in?
So it's not produced by the rice plant itself, but the rice plant help because the rice plant release different type of chemicals around the roots. And these compounds can be used by different microorganisms in the soil. And as a result, we get methane that is produced.
So the rice is making the problem happen, but it's because it's feeding the wrong sort of microbes effectively.
Yes, exactly. So our approach have been to try to understand more exactly what is released from the roots of the rice plants and in what way these compounds feed the microbes. So there is a collaboration between the rice plant and the roots and the microbes. They are helping each other, so to say. So it's a good thing that you have microorganisms in the soil around the roots. But we don't want the wrong microorganisms to grow.
How did you track that then to work out what it was that the rice was releasing that feeds the microbes that then turns into methane?
We had two different type of rice plants, one that had a low emission of methane and one that had quite high emissions. And then we compared these two plants. So we did a chemical analysis of the compounds that were released from the plants to try to see, is there a difference between them? And if there is a difference, what is the actual compound that differ between these two rice? And doing so, we could actually detect the compound that was specifically linked to the methane production.
Ah, right. And so the form of rice that doesn't produce as much methane produces less of these compounds from its roots.
Yes. So there is an organic compound called fumarate. And this organic compound is used by the microbes as food. And then it's converted into methane, which is then released from the rice fields.
And does the rice have to get rid of that fumarate in order to be healthy? So when you compare these two rice plants, the one that does and the one that doesn't make methane, is the one that doesn't produce methane from its roots less healthy, or is it perfectly happy and the yield is the same?
Yeah, it's actually perfectly happy because it's not only this fumarate that is released. It's a lot of different type of compounds, and all these different compounds are food for the microbes in the soil. But fumarate is very specifically linked to the microbes that are releasing the methane.
Given that you've got a form of rice then that doesn't produce much methane, have you solved the problem? Do we just grow that everywhere? Or is that just a laboratory specimen that's good in some respects for studying, but it's not a high-yielding variety we could feed the world with?
Yeah, this rice is actually a high-yielding variety, so what we have done is that we found this low methane emitting rice, and then we have crossbred it with a high yielding variety to have a rice that has both low methane and high yield. So this new variety that we have produced can actually give us both more food and at the same time reduce the amount of methane.
Brilliant. Is this now it then? It's a slam dunk. We're in a position where you can take this rice that you've bred and it should be capable of growing in all the different rice-growing environments around the world, or is it fussy? Will it need further adaptation?
You can grow it in many different areas, but it can't tolerate all different types of temperature areas. So we still need to continue to breed for more similar rice varieties that can grow under different temperature conditions. So this rice can be used in many areas, but not all. So not the tropical regions, for example.
Is the next step then to take some of those tropical cultivars and cross them with your low methane variety, going for one that has the ability to tolerate the tropics, but still doesn't churn out loads of methane?
Yes, exactly.
And is that hard to do?
No, not now, I would say, because we know the mechanism, we know what we are searching for. So I think this is not a complicated thing now to do.
And so if you were able to get this across the world, something like a half the world's population depends on rice, doesn't it? The impact would be huge.
Yes. I mean, rice cultivation today represents a lot of the methane that is released into the atmosphere. And it's also increasing because the temperature is increasing. So it's like a bad loop that's going on right now. We need more food, more rice, and the temperature is already going up. And that's also increasing the activity of these methane-producing organisms in the soil. So this is a problem that we really need to take care of.
Absolutely fabulous piece of work. That was Anna Schnurrer there at the Swedish University of Agricultural Sciences, and she just published that work in the journal Molecular Plant.